things alone. This is quite an anomaly among the messages that I've preached in my lifetime to put the title upon the message of today, a teaching, and it's entitled Peer Pressure. Peer Pressure. You know what? A peer's got several different meanings. You can peer into space, or you can peer through a microscope, or peer through a peephole. But this is talking about another kind of peer. In other words, one of your contemporaries, one of your equals. Pressure from somebody that's close to you. I want to begin for a scripture in Matthew, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 46. While Jesus yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. You see him right in front of him. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And for an enlargement or an expansion of the thought that Jesus expressed here so beautifully with this graphic illustration of relative involvement or disturbance, whichever one you want to call it, in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 19 through 21, Jesus spoke of this same event, instant in his life, and he said, my mother and my brethren are those that hear the word of God and do it. Hey, that makes us have some pretty close kinfolks in the Lord, and it makes them more closer than blood. You know, after all, flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of God, so what are you worried always about flesh and blood for all the time? Everybody's got kinfolks, but it's different responses we make to them, or to friends, close friends, or to neighbors. And I'm talking about people that live close to you, not a real neighbor in the Lord. See, there's two kinds of neighbors. There's one that lives across the fence from you, a street from you, and then there's a neighbor that's close as a brother to you. One would do you good if he had the opportunity and you needed it. See, that's the neighbor. Jesus gave that illustration in the good parable of the Good Samaritan. The old lawyer said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told him about a man that helped him. Helped the man who had been beaten up and robbed and cast off into the ditch beside the road to Jericho. And Jesus said, now, if you want to, said, who is the neighbor of that man? The Levite that went on the other side of the street? The priest that went around him, heard him groaning, saw his need, but refused to help. And then here comes a Samaritan down. And now a Samaritan wasn't in the same class or the same church or the same religious order as a priest and a Levite. They belonged to the Orthodox church. The old Samaritan, he was rejected because he was a half-breed. He wasn't all Jew and he wasn't all Gentile and nobody wanted him. Kind of like folks in America today in our racial strife. We get caught in the crossfire. Nobody wants us. And he came by, looked over in the ditch. He heard him groaning. He went over and poured oil on him, bound up his wounds, put him on his own beast, took him to an inn. And to the innkeeper, he gave money to take care of him. He said, if it costs any more until he's fully recovered, I'll pay you when I come back through town. And he looked at the lawyer and said, who is my neighbor? He said, the one that helped him. He said, you go do likewise. Oh, man. Boy, that's putting the cat on his back, isn't it? Yeah. You're just trying to avoid responsibility by this saying, I don't understand. Oh, yeah, we do understand. Lord didn't leave nobody understanding, misunderstanding. He always left them throwing dirt in the air and tearing their clothes and murmuring and talking to themselves. You know why? They understood. You don't throw dust in the air and tear your clothes and talk to yourself when you don't understand. It's because you understand, but you don't like it. All right. A lot of times we don't like what Jesus said about relatives, but that's the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. All right. And peer pressure is what comes from our family and our friends or our kinsmen or relatives. You know, the very startling thing about this matter is the devil can use them better than anybody else to put pressure on you that you deviate from the service God requires of you. Your deviations, your failures, your lack of success, it don't come from somebody down the street. It don't come from the pressure of somebody you don't know very well. Whenever you fail God, whenever you defer your payments to the Lord, whenever you decide to keep God's money, whenever you decide not to read your Bible or go to church faithfully, whenever you decide to do something that's worldly in its intent or content, you can bet your bottom dollar, if you were a bettor or a wager, that it is peer pressure. Somebody has put the tag on you that you have confidence in. They've whispered something to you. It's usually a sweet nothing, but somehow or another it affected you the wrong way. And that peer pressure, wanting their confidence, wanting their friendship, was more important to you than having favor with God or favor with those people that will walk with God and pay the price if it means losing friends. As I was referring to the radio mail, my memory goes back to a letter I read Friday from a lady somewhere up north. Here's our radio broadcast. And she wrote and she says, I got one of your books, A Perversion of the Bible. And I got five friends of mine together. They're charismatic. And I read to them out of your book. And said, the longer I read, the madder they got. And in a little few minutes, they were climbing the wall. They were so mad. And said, Brother Pringle, I lost my five friends today, and I'm going to have to find some new ones. Well, isn't that wonderful? Yeah. You know what I like to do? Grab the flag, and I like to be out in front of her house and demonstrate and say, Hallelujah! Yeah. She gave up five old goats, and God will give her five lambs or sheep. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Who gives a hoot about losing some old boneheaded friends? Yeah. My Lord, lose them. Let them go. Separation. Yeah. What is the world's greatest separator? Let me hear you say it. The truth. The truth. Come on, say it. The world's greatest separator is truth. That's right. Tell them the truth. Praise God. Amen. You won't have to leave. They'll leave. Oh, man, then you can rejoice. Didn't Jesus say, Luke 6, rejoice when men separate you from their company and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake? He said, in that day, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For they spake the same thing about the real prophets of God. Yeah, you read. He said another word. He said, leap for joy. Praise God, peer pressure. Oh, Lord, we hear more cop-outs, though. People want to say, oh, I'm so weak. They just push me all around. Oh, jellyfish. We were down there fishing this week, and I had my son, Kiki, Chris Lamar, and Dominic, my adopted son, on the boat. And Dominic, being new, he kept seeing them jellyfish in the net. And they just big old rascals. Then when you pull the net up, he wouldn't be there. He just strained right on through the net. That's the way a lot of Christians are. You can't never pin them down. They never are established. They're always somebody pushing them. That's what Paul meant in Ephesians 4:11, beginning when he said, God put in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, that you be no more children tossed to and fro. God wants you to be established. Hey, get settled, sobered. My God, settle down. Quit saying I'm weak. In fact, one of the prophets cried out and said, it's time for the weak to say, I'm strong. Amen. And he said, a little one shall become a strong nation. Oh, yeah. But the weak's got to cry out through Christ. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.